Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow.
See, Mr. Graham finished well. He went through all the tests of life and he finished well. It's important that we finish well. One thing that helps us through our test of life is understanding why they are allowed in our lives. God will give us understanding, maybe not all the details, but he'll give us understanding. And there we find in the Word, that's the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through. Ah, understanding.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Today in Mark chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 31. As we look at a message that I've entitled, With God All Things Are, what's it say? Possible. And all means what? All things. We believe that, right? We truly do. It's interesting. This Wednesday evening in our study in Genesis, we were looking at Joseph, his life, and he's in Egypt as we're in those scriptures, and he is in jail there for a false accusation against him. But it doesn't discourage him. He just continues on. We see the victory that God brings him out of that jail and then places him as the right hand, at the right hand and the right hand man for Pharaoh there in Egypt. And so one might think that a Jewish person coming all the way from the promised land, sold into slavery, entered into Egypt, sold in, as I said, as a slave to Potiphar, the general, the ruling general there in Egypt. And then all of a sudden he finds himself in a position that he is the right hand, the second most powerful person in the nation of Egypt at that point, one of the most powerful nations in the world at that point. It's an amazing thing. Can God do anything? He can. He truly can. Whatever he can just do whatever he wants to do. With God, all things are possible. Look at verse 27, and this is where we're going to start our message today. Chapter 10 of the book of Mark, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So I want us to keep that in mind as we go through our message today. The message really that we'll be looking at is broken up into two areas. And I'd like you to take notes on this because there's going to be a quiz at the end of the message today. Okay, two areas. Let's see if you guys can maintain this. Very important for us to understand. But we'll talk about those in a moment. But what we see here is the disciples like us, day by day when we attempt to walk with God, and they were walking with Jesus, who is God, that many tests come into our lives as they came into their lives. Would we remain strong? Will we believe that with God all things are possible? And so we see with the disciples here, test after test after test. And so today's message is like a continuation of Wednesday's message, but with some promises and some things that I believe that are very important for us to understand. All things are possible with God. We must surrender all that we are and have to God. That's what we're going to see here in Scripture. Concerning the surrendered life, we must also remember that all things are possible. Concerning these two fundamental Christian realities. Number one, the Christian is that salvation is important for each and every one of us. So you should be taking notes because this is going to be on your quiz, okay? I sound like I'm talking to the Bible college class here. This, note it. It's going to be on your quiz. We today can receive eternal life. Very important. And that's what we looked at and look at verses 17 through 22, though we won't read it. A rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? What a great question. Have I kept the commandments? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus took him back to the scriptures and said, this is what scriptures say. Because he knew the heart of this man. We studied this last week. He was, in his mind, it was a work mentality to get into heaven. Because he had been raised that way. So Jesus took him back to the Ten Commandments. Have you fulfilled this? Have you fulfilled that? Have you fulfilled this and that? And he said, yes, Lord, I fulfilled all of those things. Lord, I've been a good Jew. I have followed all the Christians. Council of the Word of God in that way. And then he says to Jesus, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Wow. God went right to the juggler. And he says to this young man, if you truly want to come, then you're going to have to forsake all, because he knew his heart. It's not for us that we have to forsake all and wander the streets of Indianapolis or whatever. No, we don't have to do that. But for this man, Jesus knew his heart and said, listen, this is what would be required for you. You have to set it all aside and you have to take up your cross and follow me. And it says there, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In our lives, we will be tested. There are so many tests day in and day out. Many here are going through a test right now. Will we trust? Will we believe? We all go through these. It's part of life. If it's not daily, it seems like it's at least weekly. If it's not weekly, I guarantee it's going to be monthly. And for some reason, if it's not monthly, you are blessed. You really are. Then it's going to be yearly, I guess. But somewhere in our walk with God, there comes a test. Will we trust God through this? Is he really who he says that he is? That was the challenge for this young man. And he turned away because he had great possessions. Now join with me in verse 23 as we ended our message last Sunday morning here. But let's pick it up again. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, because they had a belief that if you were a good Jewish person and you followed all the commandments, then there would be prosperity, and prosperity would look this way. You would have the things of the world. That's to them was that this was a godly person. And Jesus saying, no, children, he takes them right to the heart of the issue. How hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? Today, the challenge is, the consideration is, what do we trust? That's what we talked about last week. Jesus went on and then just gave an analogy that they understood, and it took them to the breaking point. It is easier for a camel, here in verse 25, to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Literally, I believe he's saying to them, this is an allegory. He's saying, literally, think about the smallest opening that's in our life right now, and that's an eye of a needle. And think about the biggest animal that's in our life right now is a camel. And try to put that camel through the eye of the needle. And notice again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's impossible than for a man to enter the kingdom of God. It is impossible if man is left to himself alone. Then they greatly, verse 26, were astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They understood what Jesus was saying. But then that verse 27 again, Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God. For with God all things are, what's the word? Do we believe that today? Do we believe the word all? I get challenged at the all. I really do. You mean, Lord, all? And it's like he's so patient with me, and he's so patient with all of us. He's so loving. You know, I've been here before. The challenges have been there. They're similar in so many ways. But I'm here, and I'm just, you know, I'm pulling out my hair. I'm going this way. I'm going that way. I'm getting, you know, even whiter than, you know, before and all that. But then it's like he just whispers to me, haven't we been here before? Well, Lord, yes, we've been here before. And How did that work out? My Lord, you were victorious. Have I changed? Am I not the same yesterday and today and forever and ever? Well, yes, Lord. You know, do you ever have that conversation with the Lord? Am I the only one? You had that conversation with the Lord, you know, and you just go through this. Oh, yes, Lord, but I'm so frail. I am at times. And so I want to talk about that today. And two areas that are very important for us that we can be tested in. Concerning two fundamental Christian realities, we must understand that we will be tested as to what we believe and where we make our stand. We will be tested. The first one is, and you might say it's simple, but it's not. The first one is, will we truly humble ourselves and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Will we do that? Now, as I look around, I see wonderful people, people that I know and their testimony when I bump into you and know that you love Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful for that. But the possibility is there's somebody here that may not be saved and is struggling with that. But there is victory because all things are possible with God. And then after we accept the Lord, we come through that and we've accepted the Lord. Then comes another test as far as salvation is concerned. It's the enemy, the number one thing he'll do is try to keep us away from being saved. And then if that, he fails at that, the number one thing is to take away our assurance of salvation. Try to get us to go a direction that we should not go down. And so he's very, very scheming about that. Today we know we are saved. But it's important that we have assurance of our salvation. Today, not by showing your hands, but answering the question in your heart. How many know for sure if they die, they'll go to be with the Lord forever and ever? Do you know that in your heart? That's called assurance. That if we die, we'll go to be with the Lord forever and ever. And if you're not, first look, have you given your heart to the Lord? If you have done that, search through the Scriptures. Search through the Scriptures. It's important for us to see the birth Scriptures, the principles that we have. Now, the second test that we can go through in our life that I'd like to emphasize today is that will we desire to live a fully surrendered life for the glory of God? We are saved today, but do we want to live a fully surrendered life for the glory of God? What that looks like for you is different than what it looks like for me. There's hundreds of people, or over 100 people here this morning. And so there's 100 different ways that looks because each life is different. That life that God has for each and every one of us. Will we surrender? Now go with me to verse 27 again. And now as we spring through this verse into the next verses, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, Sir, see, we have left all and followed you. Way to go, Peter. But notice what Jesus says. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one, here comes the promise, who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel's, who shall not receive, number one, 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Now, look at the next two words. What's it say? With persecution. I would have been just really happy if Jesus left that out. You know, I liked it, okay? Okay, Lord, if I'm willing to turn away from the things of this world, then you're promising, Lord, that there will be blessings. The blessings will be that we're in the Lord and he's doing what he wants to do in our lives, and it doesn't matter what material things he brings to us, but he can bless us that way, but we're just trusting him. But again, look at that verse, who shall not receive 100-fold now in the time, in this present time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Life has tests. It truly does. There's no way around it because we are in this world and there's a ruler of this world. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That tells me that the battle rages every day of our lives. Is that true? You guys find that to be true? Oh, I thought it was only me because all the sin in my life. No, It's just the way that it is because we live in this world. And so in the age to come, notice he says this with persecutions, verse 30, and in the age to come, what's it say? Eternal life. There are blessings that God has for us on this earth. Now, I am not a name it and claim it doctrinal person. I don't believe I just because I name something, Lord, I in Jesus' name, I just claim this, then I'm going to have that. I don't believe in that because my Father knows me better than I know myself, and He'll protect me. There's a man in Proverbs chapter 30, and he cries out with great wisdom, and he says, God, don't give me so little that I would want to steal, but don't give me so much that I would move away from you. Great wisdom. In other words, Lord, you give me what is necessary for my life. And that's important what he does in our lives that way. And so Jesus is going right to the heart, and he says, look in verse 31, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. What's the second issue? First issue is salvation. As you're taking notes, the second one is the fully surrendered life. And he's addressing both of those issues because he realizes how valuable they are. And so what I'd like to do in our message today is I'd like to address some things that will enable us to walk through the tests of life. If you're unsaved, there's certain things that will help you become saved, receive eternal life. If you are saved today and you're a Christian, then there definitely are tests that are going on. And so there's certain things that will be in your life and will help you walk through this life. So number one, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. Keep your finger in Mark chapter 10, Deuteronomy. If you didn't know, it's in the Old Testament, somewhere back there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. One thing that helps us through our test of life is understanding why they are allowed in our lives. We would think that we serve a God that is so beyond us, who is infinite and we are finite, that He wouldn't be interested in allowing us to understand why it is that we go through the things that we go through. I mean, you're God, you can do whatever you want, so He doesn't have to necessarily all the time reveal things to us. But I find He is a gracious Father. He's a loving Father. And at times, these verses that we're going to read, He uses these in our lives. Notice in verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, every, what does every mean? Every, all. Every commandment which I command you today. Now notice there's no compromise there. Every. There's no wiggle room. Every commandment which I command you today, keep in mind this is for the nation of Israel, but in application to us personally as Christians, we can gain from this truth. Every commandment which I command you today, notice here it comes again, no compromise, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. In application for us, that there's promises. There's a way that He has for us to walk that is fruitful, the surrendered life. And then in verse 2, He says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did He do that? Why did He put them in the midst of 40 years of wilderness? One reason, to humble you. And the next reason, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandment or not. Now you're telling me, Lord, here in the scripture for the nation of Israel, He led them through the wilderness. That was a test for them, so that, as we see, they might know what was in their heart. Absolutely. That's why God allows these testings in our lives at times. There's a purpose. So how do we walk through these testings that we have? We come to a point and understand God's got a purpose. He's in control of everything. And He's revealing to us what our heart is about. Notice in verse 3, He says, so He humbled you. At times God humbles us. Allowed you to hunger. And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That He, God, might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You guys see it? We go through testings so we might learn the power and the truth of Scripture. Faith comes by the Word of God. We find that in the Word of God. In Romans, it tells us that. So God is just simply saying that these tests that He has us in the midst of even today have been designed for Him for purposes. Go with me to verse 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, and here it comes again, that He might humble you and that He might test you. And look at this last part of this verse, verse 16, to do you good in the end. I can stand before you today and I can give a testimony like maybe you, and I think you would give the testimony. I have never, ever gone through a test that where God has brought me through that test. And maybe He's asked me to surrender something at that point, but that I have not received in this present life more than I had before. It's just the way He is. That's who our Lord is. And so He brings these things in our life that we may understand Him more. We may understand His ways. We may understand our hearts too. But as we walk through these tests of life, then we see a most wonderful thing that He has an intent to bless us. Here on this, the life that we have, yes, but definitely when we get to go with Him forever and ever and ever. How many know Gary Barvel, of Gary Barvel? He's a political cartoonist in the Star. You see his thing. He lives here in Indianapolis. And someone showed me this cartoon that he had drawn after Billy Graham passed away, went to be with the Lord. And we saw Billy Graham, you know, he was over here like this with his Bible. Of course, his Bible right there. He's like that. St. Peter was right here. And St. Peter, you know, Billy Graham was there ready to go in through the pearly gates. The pearly gates were here, but there was like a little wall right over here and Billy Graham couldn't see. And then you over here, but we're looking at the cartoon from this angle and we could see beyond the wall and we could look back in there and see what was there. And he says, oh, Mr. Graham, there are many that are waiting to say thank you. And you could see, all, he drew this out. Millions, what represented millions and millions and millions of people that had given their hearts to the Lord because of that man's ministry. Isn't that something that's beautiful? It truly is. See, Mr. Graham finished well. He went through all the tests of life and he finished well. It's important that we finish well. One thing that helps us through our test of life is understanding why they are allowed in our lives. God will give us understanding. Maybe not all the details. Go back to Mark chapter 10, please. But He'll give us understanding. And there we find in the Word, that's the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through. Ah, understanding. A second thing that helps us through our test of life is our understanding that there will be spiritual hindrances to us becoming victorious over the test of life. Why isn't it easy? Why can't I just have victory? Because there is this world, there is our flesh, and there is the enemy. And they resist us. It hinders us. Just listen to a few of the hindrances that we face day in and day out. First hindrance, worldly possessions can hinder the work of God. That's what we see in Mark chapter 10 here with the rich young ruler. The second hindrance that I thought of, worldly allurements can hinder the work of God. In other words, being attracted to the things of the world more so than the things of God. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, hey, the world's disappearing, man. It's going to fade away. Don't go there. Don't be part of that. But that's a hindrance in our life. The third hindrance, dependent on the things of this world, more so than the things of God. See, we have these hindrances, but we can depend upon the world. They can be there to allure us, but the danger is that as we're drawn to them, now we begin to depend upon them. And the world wants us to do that. Think of David. He was excited one day. He had a vision. He's going to go get that dude. He's coming against the armies of Israel. What was his name? Goliath. And he was all excited, ready to go. And he's got his sling or whatever that was, you know. And he's got his ready. He's ready to go. And he's going and down there. And he's heading down to take care of this dude down there. He's going to go get him. And what happens? King Saul pops up. And says, you can't go down there. A hindrance to the work of God. Until you put on all this stuff. And remember in the story that you see back there in Samuel? You see he puts on all this stuff and it's too big for him and he hasn't tested it. And he finally goes, forget it. I'm going to this dude. I don't have this. I don't care about any of that. Often what we do is we get these things of the world. We depend on these things of the world, and it won't work because it's not spiritual. You guys with me on that? You see it? And we have to be careful because we can't do that. That's a hindrance, fourth hindrance to overcoming the test of life. Discouragement will come in the midst of following God. Discouragement is powerful, is it not? Think of those in Nehemiah's day. They were building the walls. Then Tobiah came along and Sambalat came along and all that. But what was interesting, from the outside, they were discouraging the people. But then from the inside, it said the Jewish people came and started discouraging them. But Nehemiah was a great leader. He said, you know what we're going to do? Half of you, you're going to stand and you're going to there with a shovel and you're going to work. Half of you, I'm going to put a sword and a shield in your hands, and you're going to stand guard in that way. If they want to do this, we're not going to buy into it. But hindrances can come our way. There's another hindrance. Unbelief can hinder the Word of God. It says in Scripture this concerning Jesus. Now He, Jesus, did not do many things because of their unbelief. Be careful. It will hinder the Word of God. The sixth hindrance that I thought about is to overcoming the test of life, stop us from overcoming the test of life, is imaginary hindrances can limit the work of God in and through a Christian. They don't always have to be real. They're imaginary. For instance, they were going to take care of Jesus' body. It was Resurrection Sunday. So they were going there knowing that He had died. And if you study that in Mark and Matthew and all, it said they turned to themselves and they said, who will roll away the stone? You guys remember that? In their minds, that was a hindrance. But when they got to the tomb, what had happened? It was rolled away. I have found in my life, sometimes I find hindrances that are imaginary. But even though they're imaginary, they're very real to me. And they limit me from going forward for the glory of God. You guys with me? And we have those, and we have to be careful because they're just as real as if it was a roadblock. Have you guys ever heard about potholes? You know, I don't know why that just came to me. I'm just asking. They can be a hindrance, especially before on 79th there. Really was. Imaginary hindrances. Be careful. Be careful. God wants to take us through. The seventh hindrance that I thought about, and you guys may not like this one. Family ties can hinder us. It can. We have to be careful. Well-meaning things, you know, well-meaning things. I was with somebody and just recently, and their concern was this, that God was calling them away from Indianapolis to go serve Him. But they were a little reserved that they had to go tell their family. And we've experienced that. We really did. When my son-in-law came with my daughter one evening, you guys have heard the story, he sits down, he got right to it. That's what I love. I love my son-in-law. I really do. Sometimes I hate him, but I love him. I love him, you know, and all that. And what he did, he just looked, he looked right at me and he said, Dad, I got to get right to the point. God's moving us to Colorado. I looked at him and then I looked at my daughter and she said, Dad, he's serious. And I look back at both of them. Your mind is turning at that point, 1,000 miles, you know, and all that. And I just said, well, that's fine, but you're going to miss your kids. You can leave, but not the grandkids, you know. It was important how we responded. You know, we're going to miss you. But this is what God is doing in your life, and they have been richly blessed. And because they obeyed Him, they have grown in ways they couldn't have grown. And God has done that. We have to be careful as family members. Be careful with our counsel because we can hinder. And the last thing I thought of, to overcome the hindrance to overcome in the test of life, the weights of the world can hinder us from being victorious over the test of life. In Hebrews, it says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this cloud of witnesses of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Someone has said this, for the race of life, believers are to trim down. That is, get rid of the sin of unbelief which will impede their progress. Forsaking all other impediments to walk in faith, setting everything aside, to walk in faith. They are to run the race with endurance. In other words, they are to finish what they have begun. Praise the Lord. All these hindrances that are out there. And the first thing I said was that how do we get through the test of life is to understand why they are allowed in our lives. How do we get through the hindrances or the test of life? The second thing was to know that there are spiritual hindrances. And the third thing that helps us through our test of life is the truth that with God, all things are possible. You can write that down. That's right in the heart of the message today. With men, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. How do we get through these tests of life? We just come back and say, God, with you, everything's possible. I don't understand right now. I feel maybe discouraged. I may eat whatever this, but I just know the scripture says this, so I'm going to stand upon that. Listen to me listen to this very briefly, what the power of God can do in our lives. It can deliver us, Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. It can fulfill promises, Romans chapter 4, verse 21. It can make grace abound in our lives, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. It can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It can subdue all things, Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. It can guard the soul's treasure, 2 Timothy 1, 12. It can pardon a person of their sins, Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. It can save to the uttermost, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And the power of God can keep us from falling. Amen? Jude, verse 24. God is wonderful, is he not? There are the tests of life. And the fourth thing that help us overcome and be victorious over the test of life is a surrendered life for the glory of God. It truly is. That's why we see in the second section here again, verses 29 to the end of the chapter, verse 31. The surrendered life is the picture that is being drawn here. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is God good? He truly is. And so we've just looked at these hindrances. As we started our message today, I encourage us to keep the importance of two issues in mind. The first issue was what? Salvation. Thank you. The second issue was what? Fully surrendered life for God. That's the two things that we see here. Very important to understand that. And we looked at eight potential hindrances that can keep us from having a victorious walk in the Lord. Worldly possessions, worldly allurements, dependent on the things of this world, discouragement, unbelief, imaginary hindrances, family ties, the weights or the sin of this world. And so in closing, I haven't said that yet, have I? Do you guys believe me? You're not sure, are you? Huh? All things, Scott. Scott, I cannot believe you said that. Ushers, John, Andrew, what are you guys doing right here? In closing, how do we overcome this world and live victorious in it? Simply, Scripture says, by faith. By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. John the Apostle said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Today you may be faced with a test. But God is bigger than that test. And according to Deuteronomy, he's allowed that test in your life to reveal certain things, potentially about you, but about him, that could never be revealed unless that test was allowed in your life. How can we live victorious in this world? By standing upon the truth that is found in Romans chapter 8. And I'll just read it. You can turn there, but I'm going to read it before you can get there. It's going to Romans chapter 8. It says this. How can we live in victorious in this world? It says this. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What that means is we are victorious now in the midst of the battle because of what Jesus has done. He said, it is finished. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's who we are today, guys. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. We really are. I know the trials are real. They truly are. But how do we live victorious in this world? We stand upon the truth that is found here in Romans. And the last one, go back to Joshua in the Old Testament. Go there, please, chapter 1. How do we live victorious over the tests of life? Joshua tells us. As Moses was turning over the reins of the nation of Israel, he went to Joshua, beginning in verse 6, and he said this, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong," in application to us, "only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you." Where is he with us? Wherever it says you go. Praise the Lord. And again, if you're going through tests, very simple. God will never forsake you. He will take you through. He's able to save to the uttermost, Scripture says. As we walk with God, there can be no compromise. We put our trust in Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. A simple message. But Lord, if we're not facing a trial or a test at this point, then maybe there's one just around the corner. May we be mindful of the principles that we have looked at in this scripture, in these scriptures today. Lord, concerning our salvation, you got it under control. Empower us to walk and trust you for that. Concerning the fully surrendered life, Lord, sometimes we don't even know what that looks like, but it doesn't matter because you have that under control too. Lord, simply the message is be in love with you. All the commandments are wrapped up into simply loving the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. May we love you. May you be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the